Good morning. Welcome. This is the KPFK Local Station Board regular meeting for Sunday, September 20, the year 2020, 10:30 a.m. And we're now convening live. Janine, can you... is there someone in a position to read the mission statement?
Yes. I need to go in there wondering what to do.
Madam Chair, Bella here.
Yes.
I will read it.
Thank you.
Okay.
We're ready.
Okay, the Pacifica mission statement, hold on, to establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member. There's a lot of noise in the background.
This is Beth. Could I ask anyone who's not speaking at the moment, please, to mute your line? And Fred, if you would be willing, please mute anyone who fails to do that.
Yeah, I've muted two people already
to
clear the background noise. I'll unmute them after Phyllis reads the statement.
Thank you.
To establish a foundation organized and operated exclusively for educational purposes, no part of the net earnings of which inures to the benefit of any member of the foundation, to establish and operate for educational purposes in such manner that the facilities involved should be as nearly self-sustaining as possible. One or more radio broadcasting stations licensed by the Federal Communications Commission and subject in their operation to the regulatory actions of the Commission under the Communications Act of 1934, as amended, in radio broadcasting operations to encourage and provide outlets for the creative skills and energies of the community, to conduct classes and workshops in the writing and producing of drama, to establish awards and scholarships to creative writing, to offer performance facilities to amateur instrumentalists, choral groups, orchestral groups, and music students, and to promote and aid other creative activities which will serve the cultural welfare of the community. In radio broadcasting operations, to engage in any activity that shall contribute to a lasting understanding between nations and between individuals of all nations, races, creeds, and colors, to gather and disseminate information in the causes of conflict between any and all such groups, and through any and all means compatible with the purposes of this corporation, to promote the study of political and economic problems and of the causes of religious, philosophical, and racial antagonism. In radio broadcasting operations, to promote the full distribution of public information, to obtain access to sources of news not commonly brought together in the same medium, and to employ such... and to employ such varied sources of the in the public presentation of accurate, objective, and comprehensive news on all matters vitally affecting the community. That is the Pacifica mission statement. Thank you.
Thank you.
Alan Beek signing.
Hello,
Alan.
Point of information.
Yes.
Point of information. Listen,
yes.
Fred, I understand that you're kicking off members of the public not to overload the system, but I think that's really unfair. Maybe we should start only doing that once the system gets overloaded, because you have people trying to call in to listen, and they're getting kicked off, and they'll be discouraged, and they won't come back. I would say, can we wait to do that until the point where we have the system overloading?
This is the chair.
Can to the stack. Point of order. The meeting hasn't begun.
Yes, it has.
Okay. The meeting's begun. I call order of the day. Let's do the roll call. Please.
Chair, I just want to associate myself with the remarks made by Ali Lexa in regards to the suggestion that he made about we shall wait till the system is overloaded, so this way the public could benefit from the proceedings.
The concern with that is that if the system is once full, if we get 25 people on the line, we won't know if there's someone else trying to call in and that it's a board member. And there is another way to listen, right? They can listen online. Is that right?
You know, it's
Fred,
not
what
that
do you
easy.
Advise?
If someone only has a phone and no computer, it's hard to listen online and then try and call in at the same time when it's public comment.
This is Grace. Can I please explain?
Please. Go ahead.
Okay. It's unfortunate that there is a limit to participation through Maestro. If we don't leave, we have room for 25 people to be on this call. If everybody gets on the call, or most LSB members get on the call, plus the secretary, that is 25. Other people would be taking up the line, and LSB members would not be able to get onto this call. So the first priority has to be leaving lines open so that LSB members can call in. The other person who should be on the call is Aniel. That would bring it up to 26 people. There are very few open numbers, and that would only be the people who are absent, who have requested excused absences. So, and that would be prejudicial. It would favor one or two or three public people and disenfranchise the rest. So it would be best for the public to listen on the stream if possible and not be allowed to call into the public line until public comment is opened. We just don't have the capability of having 30 or 40 people be listening on the phone line to this meeting.
Jan Goodman for the stack.
This is Danielle.
People are bringing up topics that are not on the agenda.
Chair,
I think what's in order
on the agenda is roll call.
I think so,
that's
too.
Right, roll call.
Let's proceed with roll call. Janine? Are you there?
Thank you.
Janine?
Yes, I am.
Thanks.
Roll call. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Grace Aaron present. Ken Aaron?
Here.
Ken Aaron present. Michael Adler has requested an excused absence. Michael Atkins?
Here.
Michael Atkins present. Alan Beek?
Here.
Alan Beek present. Fred Blair?
Present.
Fred Blair present. Sandy Childs has requested an excused absence. Bella DeSoto?
Present.
Bella DeSoto present. Jan Goodman?
Present.
Jan Goodman present. Eric C. Jacobson?
Present.
Eric C. Jacobson present. Avelia Jones? Moving on to Ali Lexa.
I think she's muted.
Present. Okay. Avelia Jones present. Ali Lexa?
Here.
Ali Lexa present. Barbara Marbach?
Requested absent.
Okay, I didn't see that. Okay, Michael Novick?
Present.
Michael Novick, present for James Osborne. Moving on to Lydia Ponce.
Present.
Lydia Ponce, present. Lawrence Reyes?
Present.
Lawrence Reyes, present. Paul Roberson?
Present.
Paul Roberson, present. Mansoor Sabah?
Requested an excused absence.
Okay, I didn't see that. Oscar Ulloa? Moving on to Paulina Vasiliev has requested an absence. Beth Van Guten?
Present.
Beth Van Guten, present. Harvey Wasserman? Moving on to Kiana Williams?
I'm here.
Kiana Williams, present. Anyel Field?
Yes.
Anyel Field, present. We have 16 board members present and Anyel Field.
Anyel's also a board member.
Oh, okay. Okay, great. 17 altogether then, but...
Chair, if I may, I wasn't sure if it was acknowledged. Oscar, you are present.
Oh, yeah, great. I did not have him as present.
Thank
you, Oscar. Yeah, something happened with my Bluetooth, so, but thank you.
Thank you. Moving on, next agenda item. C is to approve the proposed agenda. Are there any objections?
This is Eric. Beth, I want to add make a motion to add that we adjourn the meeting today in memory of a very distinguished professor, Stephen F. Cohen, whose death was announced. He died Friday of lung cancer, and he's been a friend of Pacifica and a major voice in the cause of a lasting understanding among nations for his entire life. He died young at 81, and it's a shock to myself and a great many people, judging from the outpouring on social media. I have a little write-up that I'm just finishing, and I'd like to adjourn our meeting today in honor of his life's work and in his memory. Thank you.
We have our a motion. Do we have a second?
I propose that we do... we do so. And I'll put it in writing in the next 15 minutes and circulate it.
So we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second, Bella.
Are there any objections?
Ken
objects. I object.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I have an amendment to that motion.
Okay. So, there's a...
Lawrence, as
Ken, Ken had an objection. Do you want to state your objection?
The amendment comes first.
Okay. Lawrence, go ahead.
I would like Mr. Jacobson to also consider the notorious... RGB in his resolution. As you know, this nation is going to go through a constitutional struggle to replace her, and she was a woman of social justice and equality, and I just would like Eric Jacobson to include her in his resolution. Thank you.
Now, this is Ken. I object to both the amendment and the motion. And before, you know, I would motivate and check with other people before you get it approved, because I'm about the only one who's willing to come up and make a statement that doesn't seem completely empathetic with the grief engendered with the passing of a special person. Every meeting of the LSB is going to have a progressive person or supporter of KPFK that has died within a week of it. The chances of that happening are at least 30%. And also, there's nothing that suspending the meeting or canceling the meeting does to honor the life of that person. We are here to protect the very thing that they supported. Why would we cancel the meeting and go home and watch TV or go for a walk when we're supposed to be here doing the work of Pacifica that person, as noted by Mr. Jacobson, supported?
Ken,
we're here. We're doing the work.
Ken,
so that's
you
my objection.
Clarification. Ken, you misunderstood me completely. I'm simply proposing that we do what's done at the Los Angeles County Board of Supervisors meetings on a customary basis. Right at the end of the meeting, they'll adjourn in the memory of a distinguished person that deserves a moment of recognition. That's all. I hope you didn't misunderstand anything else.
I heard you. I heard you say adjourn the meeting.
No, adjourn the meeting. At the time of adjournment, pardon me for my syntax if it caused you a misunderstanding. I don't think anybody else misunderstood it, candidly. But, yes, all I'm saying is that at the end of the meeting, as is done in other bodies, we have a moment of recognition, in this case of Professor Cohen, and I'd be glad if Lawrence or anybody
okay,
else.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
Add okay. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, as well. But, the only thing I agree with about the gist of what you were saying is that we only have limited time in our meetings, and they tend to be long, and we can't get into major detailed tributes. But a brief word of praise for the person's life and contributions, I think, is appropriate, and certainly for
Chair, can we go to a vote, Chair? I think we're pretty
clear. I withdraw my objection.
Good. Then, if there are no, if I hear no further objection, was that an objection? Hearing no further objections, the proposal is the motion is accepted.
As amended, right, Chair?
Yes, as amended. And Eric, please help us remind us at the end. That's what we've agreed to do. Thank you.
Yes, I will. Thank you.
So next on the agenda is, other than that, the agenda has been, are there any objections to the agenda? Yes.
Ali to the stack.
Ali.
This is Paulina joining the call. Thank you.
Once again, and I'm sorry if this is off topic, but we've been told that the system only supports 25 people at a time. I looked at the Maestro site, and it says the cheapest plan supports 50. From what I understand now, there's 17 people on the call. And you say the limit is 25. Can we at least let 5 members of the public in?
This is the chair.
Did Fred be recognized?
Fred, go ahead.
There are currently 21 people on the conference. Two are listed as public. I have not kicked them off as requested by Lawrence.
Thank you.
So we still have four or five slots available. But I would urge people to please listen to this live stream rather than to call in, because there may be board members that call in late.
We're not going to be limited on space. There's plenty of space. Even
Chair, we're going to leave the management of this item to our communications operator today, to Fred, to manage. And any further discussion about how to handle this for future meetings can be brought up at the governance committee when we meet.
Whatever times do we deny the public?
We're not denying the public.
That's
we're not denying the public. And this is not the agenda item. We have a long agenda, and we're going to continue with it. Thank you. You've come up like three times now, and we're not even through the first item.
Public comment is on the agenda. We want to just make sure people are allowed to get in.
The next item is approval of excused absences.
Chair, I have an amendment to the agenda.
Yes.
I'd like to place the first public comment. I'd like to combine it for 15 minutes right after the general manager's report, which would be 5, B as in Roman numeral 5.
Is there a second to that motion?
Bella seconds.
Thank you, Bella.
Are there any objections?
Can you ask Janine if she understood that, please?
Janine?
Can it be repeated?
Yes, Janine. So I'm combining Roman numeral 2 with normal numeral 5, which is B, for combining it to make it 15 minutes of public comment.
Okay, understood.
After the general manager's report, is that correct?
After the GM's report, yes.
Okay. Then... are there any were no objections to that? And so amended. Are there any are there any objections to the agenda as amended? Hearing none, we'll move on to the next agenda item, which is approval of excused absences requests.
Bella to the stack, Madam Chair.
Bella?
Yes, I suggest that we take them one by one, please.
I object. I object.
This is how it's been done in the past.
Not always. It's a time waster.
Normally.
It's not a rule.
We'll abide by precedent and go through the list. Janine, can you list all those who've requested absences?
We have, Paulina has joined us. We have Michael Adler, Sandy Childs, Barbara Marbach, Mansoor Sabah, and Harvey Wasserman are all absent. From my understanding, and I don't always get, me personally, I don't always get the request for excused absences. The ones I have received are Michael Adler, Sandy Childs, and that's it.
Paulina requesting the stack or just with the point of information?
This is Beth to clarify the list. I've received requests from Barbara Marbach and from Mansoor. I haven't... excuse me. I haven't heard anything from James Osborne or from Harvey Wasserman ahead of time, so they're absent without requests for approval. Taking these one by one, Michael Adler, is there any discussion about, are there any objections? Is there any objection to accepting his request?
As is Ken, I object. I object.
You object.
But okay. It's just one person. You can go on.
Okay.
I'm just going to object to any of them. I object to any excused absences.
Okay. That means we need to... are there any other objections to excusing
Michael
Adler? Hearing none, Michael Adler's request is accepted. Sandy Childs requested.
I object. Bella DeSoto objects.
And that's in addition to Ken's objection. So discussion?
You have to go to a vote.
Okay. Yes, I would like to discuss it. She has written in that she oh, Jan Goodman, may I be heard?
Recognized. Go ahead.
Yes, Sandy Childs has written in that she had horrible migraine headaches that have caused her to even have to miss doctor's appointments. And as we all know, she's recovering from cancer, so I'm sure that doesn't help. So I would urge people to give her an excused absence.
My objection stands, Madam Chair. Bella.
Chair, point of Lawrence.
Lawrence?
Yes, Chair has set precedent already to note the objection of one individual. I believe it was Mr. Aaron, and I would move that you acknowledge the objection of Bella DeSoto and move on to the next request for an excuse absence.
Ken has stated that he objects to each of these, all.
Correct, so
all
that's two.
Excuse. So okay. That's two, which means that we need to vote. If there's no further discussion, then Janine, can you go through the roll call, please?
So this is a road. Michael Adler also had two objections. So this is a roll call vote for.
Who was the second objection for Michael Adler?
I thought both Ken, Aaron, and Bella DeSoto objected to
No, I did not. I never objected to his excused absence.
Okay, so that was just Ken. All right, so this is for
correct.
Sandy's Childs. Excused
correct.
Absence. Roll call, Grace Aaron. Approve the, this is to, yes to approve, no to not approve the excused absence. Right, Grace Aaron?
I vote no.
Okay, Ken Aaron?
No excuse.
Okay, Michael Adler's not here. Michael Atkins?
No objections.
No objections, so you vote yes to approve?
That's fine, yes.
Okay, Alan Beek?
I do not object to the excused absence.
So that's yes to approve. Fred Blair?
Yes.
Yes to approve. Sandy Childs is not here. Bella DeSoto?
No.
Jan Goodman?
Yes.
That's yes to approve. Eric C. Jacobson?
Yes.
Did you say pass, or I'm not sure what you said?
Yes, I'd like to pass. Could you come back to me? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Velia Jones?
Yes.
Yes to approve. Ali Lexa?
Yes, I approve completely.
Thank you. Barbara Marbach? I don't think she's on the call. Michael Novick? I know Michael Novick was
yes.
on the call earlier.
Yes.
Yes to approve. Okay, James Osborne is not here. Lydia Ponce?
Yes to approve.
Thank you. Lawrence Reyes?
Yes.
Yes to approve. Paul Roberson?
Yes to approve.
Thank you. Mansoor Sabah is not here. Oscar Urioa?
Yes, approve.
Yes to approve. Thank you. Paulina Vasiliev?
Yes to approve.
Thank you. Beth Van Gut. Harvey Wasserman is not here. Kiana Williams?
Yes, with my whole heart, I approve, and I wish her well.
Okay, thank you. And Beth Van Gutten?
I'll abstain.
Abstain. Going back to Eric C. Jacobson?
I'll vote yes.
Yes, to approve. So we have 14 yeses, 3 noes, and 1 abstain for 18.
So on to Barbara Marbach. Are there any objections to, other than Ken's, to, is there a second objection to?
Bella DeSoto objects.
Is there any discussion?
This is great.
Hearing no
Point of order.
Great.
This is great. Would appeal to Ken to remove his objection so we can move the meeting since, or Bella?
This is a matter of principle. This is a matter of principle. Bella here.
Okay, point of order.
Thank you.
Point of order to the chair, please.
Yes.
I believe we could just ask if there's a third objection. If there isn't one, we can just count that as a vote of everyone else in favor. The idea of having to drag through a roll call vote for every single excused absence when we have a lot of business to get with is ridiculous.
Agreed.
Exactly.
Is there a third objection to accepting Barbara Marbach's request for an excused absence? Hearing none, then we'll accept her request with the and note that there were two objections. Mansoor Sabah requested an excused absence. He said he'd call in if he could, but he was going to be out of town and didn't know whether there would be cell access.
Bella DeSoto objects.
And we have Ken already on the record objecting. Do we have a third objection? Hearing none, then we'll accept Mansoor's request as well. So that's a total of 4. It still leaves 2.
I should roll with you because I don't need a separate. Okay.
2 unexplained absences. And I would, as chair, I would like to ask the governance committee please to address the issue of establishing some criteria for this.
There is criteria, Madam Chair.
This comes up again, and it would help if the entire board were clear on that. So I would like the governance committee to address this before we go through this another time.
Can this be noted, Madam Chair? Can this be noted on the minutes, please, that you are requesting to look into this matter? Thank you.
That's why I say it out loud, yes. I'm referring this issue to the Governance Committee because it comes up again and again and again. Thank you.
So it needs to be noted on the
minutes. I have confirmation from Janine that it's been duly noted. Approval of minutes from previous. So on to the next item, E, approval of minutes from previous meetings.
This is Lawrence to the stack.
Bella Lawrence? To the stack.
Lawrence and then Bella.
Thank you, Chair. So.
Could I want to take one moment to try to recruit Paul. Paul, would you be willing to keep track of time for us with various
issues
and to keep track of the stack as we get further into discussion?
Yes.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, go ahead, Lawrence.
Thank you, Chair. So this is an issue that has been on the vine now for quite some time, I believe. I believe that Somebody interrupted me for a point of order? Okay. So I believe that this is an issue that has been on the vine now for quite some time. We have minutes, outstanding minutes from at least 3 months. So I would employ the board members to read these minutes and to approve them tentatively to we could address this as a board, and this is a actionable item, and it needs to be done because this is like going on tomorrow. Thank you, Chair.
So I'm this is the chair. I guess I'm not clear. What are you asking for? Thorough discussion now, or of what we have, or
no? What I'm saying, Chair. Thank you for the question. What I'm saying, Chair, is that these minutes now have been submitted by the secretary for quite some time, and we have not taken any action on them. So I'm asking for tentative approval to the following month where we could ratify these minutes, Chair.
So you want to postpone this item till next month, or?
Yeah, that would be a good suggestion that we postpone this item to next month with the caveat that that we take action on them at the next LSB meeting, Chair.
So that's a motion? Is that a motion?
Yes, Chair. Thank you.
And do I hear a second?
Lydia Ponce, second.
Thank you. Are there any objections to that?
I will second if a second is needed.
Thank you, Alan. We have a second. Hearing no objections, the motion is approved, and we will prioritize this item for our next agenda, next regular meeting. Next agenda item, set time certain to adjourn. Is there a proposed time?
I propose 1:00.
That leaves us an hour and a half.
Correct.
Mrs. Grace with a substitute motion.
Okay. Hearing note, well, do we have a...
Mrs. Grace, I have a substitute motion.
Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay, I'd like to move that we adjourn at 2:00.
Paulina, second.
I have a substitute. I have a substitute.
What's your substitute? Did I hear another substitute?
A substitute from Bella.
What is it?
It is two. We will never be able to make it at 2:00. I suggest 2:30 is more reasonable, more realistic. And we can always pull down.
Chair, this is Lawrence. I'd like to object. I'd like to object.
So
nobody
have
seconded
had,
it.
We right, and no one seconded the first proposal too. So the one motion that was seconded was for 2:00. Are there any objections to that? Hearing none, that will be our time certain to adjourn. Janine, you can take note. That moves us on to what the public comment has been moved. The first public comment has been consolidated with the second public comment, so we will move directly on to the Finance Committee report. starting with Fred Blair, treasurer.
Excuse me, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. I apologize for sending my treasurer's report out just before the beginning of this meeting. I've got 5 minutes, so I'm sorry to have to report to the LSB that I really don't have a good handle. I'm sorry, Billa, you're making a lot of rumbling noise on your microphone. Could you silence it?
Thank you. I have no noise on my phone.
Well, I see it on my board here. I see the noise.
What is my number?
Could I please ask that anyone not speaking please mute your line so that the only person not muted is the speaker? Moment. Just to prevent problems. Thank you. Not to single anybody out.
Okay.
So
I'll start over. I'm sorry to have to report to the LSB that I don't have a good handle or grasp on our monthly income at this time. This is mainly because station management has not really provided us with good and complete financial information on income for the last 6 months since the COVID-19 lockdown. As a general rule, the only governance gets its information on the financial is provided its information on financial operation of the organization by management. I still hear this rumbling in the background. Bill, I'm gonna mute you.
Fred, this is Beth. One brief interruption. I understand that Harvey Wasserman is trying to log on. Who is a board member? Harvey Wasserman is trying to log on. And Janine is trying to help. I don't know whether that you're in a position to address that or not.
I can't. Okay. As a general, let me proceed with my report. This is very frustrating.
Yes.
As a general rule, governance gets its information on financial information on the organization from management. There's no other way for me as treasurer to get this information. I have no way to see inside the station other than the financial documents that management provides us. Part of the frustration I feel is that both myself and Kim have been requesting financial documents for the last 6 months from management, and we've been getting some, but we haven't gotten any complete breakdown of the financial income streams that we get. Not to our satisfaction. I'm not going to say anything that delves into personnel issues about management. My best guesstimate is that KPFK's monthly income is in the $150,000 to $200,000 per month range currently. The problem, of course, is that our current operating expenses are $300,000 per month. I keep on hearing all these background noises.
But I would suggest that you continue. I hear you just fine.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear you fine, too.
Lawrence. Okay. Basically, and this has been, since the COVID lockdown, this has been the general monthly income that the station has been generating in the $150,000 range, which is half of what our normal operating costs are. Basically, we have five income streams for the station. The major income stream, of course, is our fund drives, which is provides 80% of our income. for over the span of a year. Some of the other fund, some of the other streams are car donations, which are about, according to the P&L statements, about $9,000 per month. We've been asking for the last 2 years for what the sustainer income is, has been, and I've heard two numbers thrown out by management. I've heard $12,000 and $13,000 per month recently, but no backup documentation on this, and that, and we really need to get that information. Grant income is in the order of $5,000 per month. Major donor income, I would estimate at about $2,000 per month on average. And since March, since March, the special events and community events has essentially been zero since the coronavirus lockdown. In a sense, I'm actually surprised that we actually have income coming in on a monthly basis to the station since the pandemic started, because we hear about all the dire economic stuff going out in the general society. We appear to be bringing in at least about $150,000 a month. In my report, I have a page of statistics, and I have the fund two tables for the fund drive.
30 seconds.
For the last 2 years. Am I at time? Hello?
No, you have 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, basically, my complaint here is that we really don't have good numbers on income, and that's really distressing because one of our finance committee board members keeps on reiterating that management actually needs those. If governance is not getting it, management needs those numbers more than we do, and to run the operations and. Okay, thank you. I'll now turn the mic back over to the chair.
Thank you. We'll move on then to Finance Committee Chair Kim.
Yeah, hi everybody. This is Kim Kaufman, your local Finance Committee Chair. I did send out a report to Beth on Friday night. I don't know. There was a little problem with communication, so I hope you all got that with the July P&Ls. Fred apparently he heard about it when I was at the CNB meeting and asked him to send it. So I only got it this morning. So I've been looking at these numbers this morning and trying to revise my numbers from the report that you have there. The problem I have is that management has gone back and revised not only previous month's numbers for this year, but numbers from last year. So it's very, very difficult to compare year to year. There's this mystery invention of website income that keeps growing and growing, and it's very hard to keep track of. And I have asked for documentation for that for months and months and months. Now, I just don't understand when management says they can't give us documentation from where this comes from, and yet every month on the P&L, there it is. It keeps growing. So this isn't just, but the biggest problem I'm having with the budget is setting our listener support. and set it based on historical numbers. And when we don't, you know, when it's a moving target of even what the historical numbers are, it's just very difficult. And I think that there's a conflation between website income and sustainers income. I know that there's a lot of focus on personnel, which is only a part of it. Another part of it are all the rest of the numbers nobody seems interested in. And I'm struggling to get those numbers work and with the help of management. But as I said in my report, we're on the fifth draft and very little has changed. And there's still, you know, just, you know, simple mistakes. But at any rate, I do want to make this point. It says in this P&L that we are $834,000worse than last year in revenue. But everybody has to remember we got $550,000 in bequests. Now, of course, it's still a mistake on the P&L, but nevertheless, that is the amount that we received. That I know of. There may be some more there that I haven't discovered yet. So, in fact, we're only $284,000 difference in just operating revenue this year to last. Of course, you have to take into consideration the amount of fund drive days in the first half of the year and then the decreased fund drive days in the second half of the year. This is always a very big consideration in evaluating our revenue because the only way KPFK really has been surviving for the last, at least 10 years, is bequests and increasing fund drive days. The operating expenses, from what I can tell, is about $150,000 less than last year, so that's an improvement. The one of the what skewed some of the numbers was we had a community events revenue last year, but we also had huge community events expenses, more than the revenue. So the fact that that's not going on right now is probably a good thing. We have a $535,000 net deficit, which, again, you know, we had $550,000 in bequests last year. Also, as far as I can tell, they haven't figured out how to account for what I've been told was $325,000 in PPP money, which basically got us through the last 2 years, last months. I prefer to take questions at this point. I would hope that people would have questions. I know we didn't leave time for that, but I just can't believe that nobody sitting in this LSB has questions.
Paulina, to the stack.
Lawrence, to the specter.
Clearly, we need discussion on this, and we failed to allocate time for that. I suggest...
Point of order?
Yes?
We added the time into the discussion of the GM's report deal with finances at governance.
I agree.
So
I'm recognizing
that... Does that mean people can direct questions to Fred or I as well as the GM?
Yes.
Okay.
That was our intention. We didn't label it as well as we might have, but the discussion is to be a general discussion in response to the general manager's report. And we scheduled his report right after these reports.
Right.
So that the discussion could be inclusive.
Okay. I'll put myself on mute until that happens. Thank you. Thank you all for listening.
Thank you. So that moves us on to item number 4, the general manager's report, followed by discussion. Anya?
Oh, sorry, I was on mute. Good afternoon, everybody, or good morning still, and thank you for having me.
I hope you have an opportunity to look at the report, and those that haven't, I'm going to kind of go through this report. However, if you would like a copy of the report or haven't received it, you can email me at anyel@kpfk.org, and I'll go ahead into my report. You know, the Pacifica Foundation has been charged with the challenges of remaining relevant and fiscally solvent. It must also come to terms with itself and how it will meet the changing public media model. While we are focused on the uncertainties and the difficulties that the station faces with dealing with financial, political, and technological challenges, we need to put a concerted effort into developing a sustainable service model. A vision for the network and the local stations must not be absent in meeting these challenges. To achieve long-term sustainability, Pacifica will need to create a social value and have the organizational ability to implement initiatives and adapt over time to foster organizational growth and strength. We must change or rethink aspects of our business that have either not overwhelmingly helped strengthen Pacifica's impact in the communities it serves. Pacifica's long-term sustainability is achievable at the intersections of social value creation, which is the ability to create unique and relevant content, services, and engage citizens to produce measurable impacts. Two, economic value creation, its ability to raise revenue streams to support the creation of content and services that support the Pacifica mission. Organizational capacity, infrastructure, resource allocation, and skills that enable the organization to adapt and innovate. Economic hardship has not been an unfamiliar friend to Pacifica and KPFK. It has unfortunately plagued our network for the last decade plus. One can't just look at the finances as to why our foundation is in the situation it is in now. Much of it relates to other problems, high turnover in leadership, the shortage of development, lack of program changes and development. No vision for our future has as defined by the board of directors and those with a vested interest in Pacifica's future. Like many media organizations across the country, KPFK cannot escape the pandemic and economic uncertainties long-term effects. Our fiscal year does end on September 30th, and we're looking at a 35-40% budget shortfall this fiscal year, primarily due to the drop in listener support, live event partnerships. We continue to make tough decisions in reducing our operating expenses and are painfully working through workforce reductions. These discussions do tear at our fabric as we want to continue to provide the service we have while also aspiring to transform our station to one that is effective in its service and fiscal sustainability. For the past 4 years, KPFK has been recovering from disasters and in many cases not of its own design. These unfortunate events have contributed to a lengthy healing process of the station. And since the beginning of my tenure in 2017, we have reconciled massively unpaid retirement funds, audits, completing audits. We just completed the 2018 audit, remedying destructive decisions made by a previous official general manager, paying back misused restricted funds and damages caused previously by reducing the workforce with total disregard to the process and the collective bargaining agreement between SAG-AFTRA's members and the Pacifica Foundation. We are in negotiations at the moment with the collective bargaining unit on workforce reductions, and collective bargaining agreement renewal will proceed after we finish coming to agreement with workforce reductions. KPFK will continue to reduce its overhead. We are reaching the final, the final throes of our budget, which will heavily rely on what's finalized with the negotiations with SAG-AFTRA and workforce reduction measures. We project that the savings from any size of workforce reductions won't be realized for nearly a fiscal year or more. The executive management team has taken a 10% salary reductions, and also just for note, all executive managers, as per the PMB, will not receive any severance packages at all. We will continue to streamline our business and operations. I feel deeper cuts may further harm KPFK's ability to serve Southern California in its current state or greater capacity. I think the foundation needs to support the recovery process and KPFK's inevitable growth, and we need to consider an adjustment in our central services. KPFK, as it is now, pays the highest central services of any out of any other five stations, and I think there needs to be some consideration for that. We need every aspect of our organization moving in one direction, I feel, and with one vision that gives us a definite purpose and achievable milestones. And for any fundraising, I feel, to be truly effective, we have to come to terms with who we are, what we want to accomplish, and who we serve. And this is why I continue to ask the National Board and the executive directors that we've gone through and the current executive director to really think about the vision and where we want this network to be within 5 years. Of course, I think it's all in our interest to continue to be in business. The station has been, for the last several months, actually just as the pandemic began, we began to overhaul our fundraising and donor stewardship practices. This includes reducing fund drive days, streamlining the membership process, moving from our antiquated system, Memphis, to Allegiance, which we are currently still doing. And just to note, Kim the Finance Committee has been asking for some of this data that would come from our donor database, but we are still migrating data there. It's not that we don't want to share the data, but this is an ongoing process, and it is extremely labor-intensive. And we're trying to do this in a way that we have to go back and make fixes and changes to data. We will be reinstituting renewal and end-of-the-year direct mail campaigns that the station stopped doing nearly 10 years ago. This is a standard practice, and I'm not quite sure why we haven't revisited this until now, but Allegiance does make this a lot easier than Memphis to conduct these direct mail campaigns. We have been moving from a premium-driven fundraising practices to one that's member-focused and that relies on the station's values to its members. We also want to improve our relations with its members, and I think that's a very important thing with any nonprofit organization. And now in close, I think now is the time for Pacifica to make the tough decisions on who we are, what we want to accomplish, what our role in the public media landscape needs to be, and what kind of future we want. We need the National Board and an executive director to help identify ways all Pacifica stations and its affiliates' strengths can free up or obtain the resources and capabilities required to provide valuable local services. Although these initiatives don't directly create fiscal sustainability or social value by themselves, they do offer or protect the resources that we need to have for a meaningful impact on communities through our work. To build resources and capabilities needed, Pacifica needs to take stock of its organizational effectiveness and developing resources and capabilities that include cost management initiatives, revenue growth initiatives, and a concerted effort in partnering and collaboration. I think our efforts must be both practical and bold, and we need to look to the future and take the lessons from our past. And in that, I guess we can go into questions.